society that a lot of the things that are preached straight out of your word go against the grain with people and people are offended. But Father, I pray that no one would be offended by the message tonight. I pray that people would just listen and let you speak to them, dear God, and accept the truth as it's preached in love. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the part of the chapter that I want to focus on is the first half of the chapter. Now, I want to preach a sermon, and the title of my sermon tonight is this, Gender Identity. Gender Identity. Now, you say, why in the world would you preach on this? Well, number one, we've got half a chapter here just dealing with the length of a man's hair versus a woman's hair, number one. But number two, not only that, we're living in a day where the lines between the genders are being blurred, where the difference between a man and a woman is slowly being erased, and in this strange, wicked society that we live in America, where you've got the gays and the lesbian, the transgender, I mean, unthinkable things are going on. And so therefore, I say, as a preacher of God's Word, that tonight in 2009, this message needs to be preached more than ever before. More than ever before, a preacher needs to stand up in a Baptist church and pick up the Bible and show you what it says about the difference between a man and a woman. Because today the lines are being blurred. Today perversion abounds. Today children are being brainwashed starting at 5 years old when they enter school. That homosexuality, sodomy, perversion is an alternative lifestyle. They're taught that men and women are the same. No, they're not the same. They are different. They are not identical. They have separate identities. There's a man's identity and a woman's identity. Now, we're not saying that men are better than women or that women are better than men. It has nothing to do with who's better. They're equal. But men have a different function than women. Men have a different identity than women. And by the way, men have authority, women do not. Now, that's just the way the Bible preaches it. But today we have Christians who've completely lost this doctrine, and I'm not blaming the person in the pew so much as the guy in the pulpit in many churches who's afraid to touch on these subjects because of the fact that people are going to be offended. Well, people are going to be offended in this church then, because we've got to preach the Bible. We've got to keep this alive in 2009 because we want to please God. And if God is going to devote a half a chapter, this chapter has 34 verses in it. It's a pretty good-sized chapter. The first 36 are explaining the subject of the length of hair. And that's just where I'm starting. And I'm going to go other places in the Bible tonight. But we're talking about gender identity, the difference between men and women. Look, if you would, at verse number 3. But I would have you know, and this is where we got to start, folks, in verse 3. I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. So who is the head of every man, according to the Bible here? Christ. And I'm going slow through this, and you might think I'm being a little bit slow, but it's because a lot of people misunderstand this chapter. So we're going to slow down and get this. The head of the man is who? Okay, it says, and the head of the woman is the man. So who's the head of the woman? The man. Okay, you got that? And then it says, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. So if we have a man who's preaching or he's praying and his head is covered, whatever that means, and the chapter explains what that means a little bit later, but whatever that means, if he's preaching or praying with his head covered, he's dishonoring his head. And who's his head? Christ. So who's he dishonoring when he's praying with his head covered? He's dishonoring Jesus Christ. Look at the next verse. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. So who is she dishonoring if she prays with her head uncovered? Her head, which is the man, which is her husband, or just the man in general, okay? You know, I don't want to add anything to it. That's what it says, the man. So let's look at the next verse here. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. Okay? Now you say, what is this talking about, having your head covered versus having your head uncovered? Go down in the chapter. The answer is right here. It says in verse number 13, judge in yourselves. Is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for what? A covering. So what covering is this talking about here? Very clear, hair. He says, wait a minute. If a man prays or prophesies with his head covered, meaning basically according to the chapter, long hair, it says it's a shame unto him, and he's dishonoring Jesus Christ. He's dishonoring his head. But he said that a woman who prays or prophesies having her head uncovered dishonors her head, which is the man, her husband. Okay? And so, and look what he says. With that in mind, now that we know, according to verse 15, that her hair is given her for a covering, and he says, it is a shame for a man to have long hair. But for a woman, it's a glory for her to have long hair. Now let's go back and see this. Look at verse 5. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. He says, wait a minute. In God's eyes, when God looks down and sees a short-haired woman, to him he says, that's just as bad as if she would just shave it all the way off. Now stop and think about this. Do you think that it is attractive for a woman to have be completely bald, totally shaved off? I mean, is that in style right now? I mean, last time I was at the mall, I didn't see a bunch of women walking around bald. Okay? Now, if a woman walked around completely bald, most people would say, that does not look cool. That is not attractive. And she would probably be ashamed of that. Wouldn't you say so? That she'd be ashamed to be bald? And that's why women usually, some women, you know, unfortunately, because of health problems, have lost their hair. Because of health problems. What do they usually do? They usually put on a wig or some kind of a hat because they're ashamed. They're embarrassed. You know, they're just embarrassed about the fact that they're totally bald. But you see, today women have short hair and they're not ashamed of it. But God says, I feel about short hair on a woman the same way that you would feel about a woman being completely bald. It would go against the grain with you. He's saying, hey, it goes against the grain with me for a woman to pray or prophesy having her head uncovered. He says short hair is not worse. She needs to have long hair. And the Bible says that a man is not to have long hair. It is a shame for a man to have long hair. Now look, today we have Christian music singers, these gospel singers. You know, let's name the names. The Oak Ridge Boys. And they got these long haired guys. And they're singing Southern Gospel. They're singing about Jesus. Is God pleased according to this chapter? Somebody getting up and giving their testimony and praying and singing and preaching with long hair? No. The Bible says it is a shame and not only that, it dishonors Jesus Christ for a man to have long hair. Okay, it's shameful. It's wrong. It's a sin. Women are to have short hair. Now people will ask this question. Well, wait a minute. And this is what the Pharisee mentality is. You see, the Pharisees were always trying to just obey the letter of the law and just try to see how much they could get away with within the law. And they were all, basically the Pharisees were just always trying to do the minimum. Just kind of scrape by. And so they want to know exactly where the line is so they could just be right there on that line. And so you say, well, wait a minute. How long can I have my hair as a man and it be not considered long hair? Well, stop and think about this. The Bible doesn't give us a line. The Bible does not give us a length. It doesn't say so many inches is long hair. He doesn't define that for us. Because that's not the point. God's not trying to draw an exact line. He's saying if you're a man, cut your hair short. And if you're a woman, grow your hair long. Now he's not saying, you know, oh, it just has to be right at this line. Now you say, why didn't God give us a length? Why didn't he show us where the line is? Well, let me explain to you why he didn't show us where the line is. Because there's a very clear reason. Because let's say God drew the line at 5 inches. He said, if your hair is under 5 inches, it's short. If it's over 5 inches, it's long. Well, here's the problem. Come on up here, honey. I want you to sit in the front row because I got to use you for a little demonstration here. Okay? So, come on up here for a minute. Okay? Now, here's the thing. Let's say God drew the line at 5 inches. Okay? Well, then that means I could have my hair at 4 inches and 7/8 of an inch.
right? And my hair is still short, right? Because I'm still going on. And then her hair could be 5 inches and a quarter. So there would only be a half inch difference between our hair, right? And our hair would probably virtually look the same. Is that what God's trying to accomplish in this chapter? Sit right there. I'm going to have you up here again. God's not trying to accomplish that. The whole point of the chapter, the whole point of saying men shorter, women longer, is that there be a difference in the way that men and women look from one another. That's the whole point. And so if there's an exact line, you could have people that look virtually the same length. We all just kind of have a shaggy mop on our head. And we all look the same when God's saying, no, there needs to be a difference. The first chapter of the Bible, Genesis 1, He put a difference. He separated. He divided the dry land from the water. He divided the light from the darkness. He divided the water above the firmament from the waters below the firmament. He divided night and day. He made all these divisions. God wants there to be a difference between men and women. And so He says that there should be a difference. So wouldn't you say this? There should be a gray area between the length of a man's hair and the length of a woman's hair that nobody should have. Because otherwise you'd have men and women with the same length hair. God didn't tell anybody to have medium hair. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's short hair. Get back here. No, I'm just kidding. There's short hair. There's short hair. Then there's long hair. Then there'd be like medium hair. Like just like having a shaggy mop on your head. God doesn't want anybody to have that medium style hair. He says, I want it short or I want it long. Those are two extremes, right? One of them is short, one of them is long. Nobody is just average. Nobody's just in the middle. There should be a middle zone where nobody is. So how long should you have it? Just grow it long. Just grow it long to where there's no doubt that it's long. To where there's no question in anybody's mind whether it's long. And then why don't you have your hair short enough to where no one's doubting that you have short hair. And so that's what he's saying here. He wants there to be a difference. He wants there to be short hair and long hair. And then in between the gray area, nobody needs to occupy that unisex gray area in the middle. Okay, does that make sense? Look, if you would, at Ezekiel chapter 22. In the Old Testament, you've got these three big long books at the end. Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, the major prophets. Three of the major prophets. Look at Ezekiel 22. Here's a verse, and this is back. This is going back to the Old Testament, where God is commanding His priests in the Old Testament. Now today, all of us are priests. You know, we believe as Baptists in the priesthood of the believer, that every believer in Jesus Christ is part of the royal priesthood. He's made us unto our God kings and priests, the Bible says in Revelation 1 and 1 Peter 1. And so in Ezekiel 22, God is commanding the priests, the Levitical priesthood in the Old Testament. And watch what He says in verse number, what did I tell you, Ezekiel 22? I'm sorry, it's Ezekiel 44, wrong chapter, Ezekiel 44. Ezekiel chapter 44, sorry about that, Ezekiel 44:20. He's talking about the priests, and he says here, neither shall they shave their heads. This is talking about shaving your head completely bald. He says, neither shall they shave their heads, nor suffer their locks to grow long. What are their locks? Who's ever heard of a lock of hair? Have you ever heard of somebody cutting off a lock of someone's hair and saving it for later as a memento? He says here, they shall not shave their heads, nor suffer their locks to grow long. So he's saying they're not supposed to have long hair, and they're not supposed to shave it completely bald. He says, they shall only poll their heads. They shall only poll their heads. Now, what is the word polling? Polling is basically what they would do to the sheep. They clip them short. Basically, they clip their hair short. Now, obviously, when you clip your hair short, then it grows again. You know, and I'm not saying you need a haircut every day. I'm not saying you need a haircut once a week. You know, I only get my haircut every few weeks, every couple weeks. You know, and whenever you want to get your haircut, that's up to you. However long you want to grow, you know, that's up to you. But wait a minute, it ought to be short. Don't let it grow long. Don't suffer them to grow long, is what he's saying. And he says, don't shave it completely bald. He says, just have short hair. Because he didn't command no hair. Okay, he commanded short hair, all right? And so he didn't say no hair, he didn't say long hair, he said short hair, okay? That's what a man's supposed to have. Women are supposed to have what? Long hair, okay? And you say, why do you keep going over this and over this? Because I want people to get this. I mean, it's in the Bible, it's the truth. Turn, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5. Deuteronomy chapter 22. Deuteronomy 22. Now you say, wait a minute. Didn't Jesus have long hair? You know what? There is no verse in the Bible that says anything about Jesus having long hair. Just because you saw a painting of Jesus with long hair, just because you saw a painting of Jesus with this flowing long hair, and he looks kind of like he's a girl, and he looks like a long-haired hippie, and he's sitting there, and you know, he's wearing a dress half the time, and they have them wearing no pants, they have them wearing these dresses, and they've got their long, flowing hair. And it's funny because you see Jesus with the disciples, he's got long hair, and then the disciples all have short hair in a lot of these paintings that you see. Wait a minute. Why is it that when they walked into the Garden of Eden, why didn't Judas just say, hey, he's the one with the long hair? Why did he have to say, I'm going to... They couldn't recognize him. I mean, they saw him and 11 other men, and they couldn't tell him apart. And they said, it'll be the one that I kiss. And remember, Judas had to come to him, kiss him on the cheek. That's when they knew that it was Jesus. Why didn't you just say, hey, see the long-haired hippie? That's him. But he didn't say that. Now look, there is no verse in the Bible that even insinuates, that even comes close to saying that Jesus had long hair. And yet today, all over America, churches have pictures of Jesus with long hair. The man who painted the paintings of Jesus with long hair, one of them, Michelangelo, painted the Sistine Chapel. Paintings of nude men. I mean, that's what it is. Who has been to the Sistine Chapel in Rome? I've never been there. You've been there. You've been there. Folks, it's even worse than what they show you in the history books. Because they show, I mean, they censor it. Like when I was in school, they'd kind of cut it off right around the waist. But it's a bunch of nude men, folks. You got a guy who spends his life for 20-some years painting pictures of naked men. And he was, and look, history tells us that he was a sodomite. That Michelangelo was a homosexual. Whoa, wow, I'm shocked. Paintings of naked men in church, folks. It's disgusting. And so I want to tell you something. The man who painted Jesus painted him to look like a queer because he was a queer himself. That's right. I saw a man did a demonstration one time. He held up a picture of a man with long flowing hair. And he said, who is this man? And everyone said, that's Jesus. And it was actually a portrait of Michelangelo's gay buddy that he painted. And it looked a lot like Jesus. Because Jesus didn't look like that, folks. Jesus had short hair because he was a man. And if Jesus commanded us as men to have short hair, and he commanded women to have long hair, are you telling me that Jesus is a sinner? And that Jesus grew his hair long? And grew his hair in a feminine way when he commanded that it was a sin for a man to have long hair, that it dishonored him, that it was a shame unto him? Don't tell me that it was Jesus having long hair and that he was a... They didn't have cameras back then. And none of those paintings date back to the time of Jesus. Those paintings were painted in the 1400s, in the 1500s, long after Jesus had been gone. And there is no picture or portrait of Jesus from when he was on this earth. And I think God wanted it to be that way because God did not want us to have a picture of Jesus. Because you know what people would do if they had a picture of Jesus? They would worship that picture. And it would be idolatry. Because the Bible said we don't need an image. We don't need a graven image. He said when you came to the mount, Moses, in Exodus 20, and the mount burned with fire, and I gave you the Ten Commandments, he said, take heed that you saw no manner of similitude. You saw no image. You only heard a voice, he said. You didn't see an image, you heard a voice. Look, if you want to know a picture of who God is, here's your picture right here. Read the Bible and you will get a true image of who God is. Not a picture painted by a man who was a pervert. And he'd say, oh, this is Jesus. And notice, all pictures of Jesus don't even agree with one another. Have you ever been to a black church? They have a black Jesus. I've been to a Chinese church. They have a Chinese Jesus. Okay, I'm serious. They paint Jesus, you know, in Hispanic Jesus. And then you go to a Catholic church, it's a white Jesus with blonde hair and blue eyes. You know, I don't think Jesus had blonde hair and blue eyes. If he was Jewish, he probably had brown hair and brown eyes, okay? But they paint him with blue eyes and blonde hair. Or they paint him as a black man. Or they paint him as a Chinese man or a Hispanic man. People paint him, or the queer paints him as a queer. Folks, that's with Michelangelo and all these guys. And so you got to understand that it's not about an image that you see painted. This is the image right here of who Jesus is. And when you read the Jesus of the Bible, it's not like the picture. The Jesus of the Bible was manly. He stood up and he preached with power. He preached with authority. When he was angry with them selling and buying things in the house of God, he made a whip and he chased them out of the temple. He flipped over the tables. He wasn't a soft, feminine man. He was a manly man. And that's why the Bible teaches men should be manly, have a manly hairstyle. Women should be feminine and have a feminine hairstyle. There ought to be a difference between men and women. It sounds basic, but today in 2009, this is an issue. And Jesus Christ did not have long hair. Look down at Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5. And see another area that God states that there should be a difference between men and women. He says in verse 5, "The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God." Now let's just read it again. Pay attention. "The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God." Now that's a pretty clear statement, isn't it? Amen. God says that men should not wear women's clothing, and that women should not wear men's clothing. It's simple. It's clear. Now, let's talk about this. What do we learn about hairstyles in 1 Corinthians 11? Now, this is only one verse. You know, 1 Corinthians was a longer passage where he went into great detail. So let's apply some of the principles that we learned over in 1 Corinthians 11. Let's apply to this verse. Because God wanted men and women to have separate hair. Why? To make a difference. Long, short. So let me ask you something. According to this verse right here, should there be a difference in the way that men and women dress, or should they dress the same? Different. Because according to this verse, in order for this verse to make any sense, there must be some clothing in this world that pertains to men. Right? That's a man's clothes. Should women wear it? No. Okay, and then according to this verse, there must be a woman's garment. Now, if there is a woman's garment in this world, should a man wear it? No. So wait a minute. What if there's no such thing as men's clothing? Would this verse make any sense? What if clothing just goes both ways? Would this verse make sense if there's no clothing that's only for men? Would this verse make any sense? No. It would not make any sense. What if there's no clothing that's only for women? Would this verse make sense? No. In order for this verse to make any sense, there has to be such thing as men's clothing. And there has to be such thing as women's clothing. And they have to be different, or else this verse wouldn't make any sense. Now, how are we going to know what is men's clothing and what is women's clothing? Should we, what are we going to do? Shouldn't we go to the Bible? I mean, we look at the Bible. That should be our key source for what we believe in. Okay? Now you see, well, it's the color. You know, if it's pink, it's women's. You know, if it's blue, it's men's. Now, here's the problem with that. Number one, the color of your clothing is never mentioned in the Bible, first of all. Number one. That's the problem with that. And I don't want to base everything I believe on just something that's not even mentioned in the Bible. So if this were only talking about the color of your clothing, here's the problem with that. Okay, you're never going to see me in a pink shirt, first of all. Okay.
Amen.
Now, this isn't talking about colors, but you know what? There are some cultures where, you know, like if a Hispanic guy wears a pink shirt, he can kind of get by with it. You know what I mean? Okay, don't wear a pink shirt. You know, but wait a minute, hold on. If pink is a woman's color, what's a man's color? Blue? But women wear blue. My wife's wearing blue. You know, Brianne's wearing blue. I mean, you're wearing blue. It's not talking about colors, because where in the Bible does it even mention the color pink? It's never mentioned, is it? No. Now, do I think men should wear pink shirts? I think you're being a little bit girly there, brother. Pink shirt or lavender, you know what I mean? Just, why don't you stick with some stronger colors, all right? But that's not what, you know this isn't what that's talking about. Because if this were talking about color, it still wouldn't make any sense. Because women wear all colors. Women wear all colors. I mean, it's just, and there's nothing mentioned in the Bible that would prohibit any specific colors. You know, I'm not going to wear, there are a lot of colors I'm not going to wear. That's my preference.
Okay, but as far as what the Bible teaches here, there must be a difference between men and women's clothing in order for this to make any sense. Is it color? No. I'm not buying that at all because that's not mentioned in the Bible. Now, maybe it's shirts. Shirts are only for men, right? Shirts are only for men. No, obviously women wear shirts too, right? Women wear shirts, men wear t-shirts, right? Men wear a t-shirt, women wear a t-shirt, right? And I don't think that anybody in this world would tell you, wait a minute, shirts are for men, or shirts are for women, t-shirts. Or is it sweaters? I don't think anybody in this world can tell you that a sweater is gender-specific clothing. No, I mean, everybody knows that it's, a sweater goes both ways. What about hats? Is it okay for a man to wear a hat? Is it okay for a woman to wear a hat? Sure. Everybody knows. I mean, nobody would dispute that. Now, wait. Have you ever seen these head-covering Baptists? You know what I'm talking about? Head-covering Baptists. And there are women who think that they have to wear a head-covering like Muslims. Because they say that their head has to be covered. Is that what it said in 1 Corinthians 11? No, it said the woman should have long hair as a covering. Okay, and yet women will put on a Muslim, garb and say, oh, I have to cover my head. No, grow your hair out long to cover your head. So what is it, folks? What's the difference between a men's clothing and women's clothing? Well, let me give you a little hint. Look at the bathroom door. And I'm not saying our bathroom because we only have one bathroom. We have a California bathroom. But basically, look at the bathroom door. Go to a restaurant. Go to Chili's. Go to Dave's Doghouse. They only have one bathroom. Go to Round Table Pizza. Go to In-N-Out Burger. Go wherever you want to go, and you know that there's going to be two bathrooms, and what is the symbol for a man on the bathroom door? What is it?
Two legs.
Help me out, two legs.
you see the picture of a man, two legs.
It's pants, okay? Then you look at the woman's door, what do you see?
Triangle.
Little triangle. This is really basic. I feel like I'm teaching preschool.
Triangle. Two legs.
Okay, on the one door, you got a man in pants. Now, is there anything different about the shape of that round head? Same round head. Okay, same rectangular arm sticking out. This is the difference, folks. Okay, stand up here, honey. This is the door you go in if you're a man. All right? This is the door you go in if you're a woman, all right? So go ahead and have a seat. Now, look. In order for there to be a difference between men and women. Look, there's a difference between men and women.
Amen.
In order for there to be a difference, there has to be a difference in clothing. Now, if Pastor Anderson came to church tonight in a skirt, would that be okay?
Nope.
Who think,
nope.
Would that be okay with you guys?
Nope.
Let's vote on this as a church. We're going to have a church vote. Business meeting is now in session. Okay, who thinks that Pastor Anderson should start wearing a skirt while he preaches? Start wearing a dress. Okay, no. Now, what if I walked in... Oh, how about... Let's put it this way. What if the President of the United States... Because I've seen the President of the United States wear all kinds of clothing. Sometimes he'll be wearing a suit. Remember when Bill Clinton used to go jogging? He'd jog over to McDonald's. Okay, and he would wear like a sweatsuit. What if the President of the United States got up and gave the State of the Union address in a skirt? What if Obama came out in a skirt? Do you think that that would fly? Do you think that people in America would think that was normal? Nobody'd say anything, right? You know that people in America would flip out, folks, if Obama got up and, and by the way, where he's from, in Kenya, the Muslims, they do wear skirts.
That's right.
In many cases. In the Middle East, men did not wear skirts until the advent of Islam. That's where skirts became popular. And Brother Segura and I can tell you, because we went soul winning in an area that was all people from Africa, and those that were Muslims, many of the men wore skirts. And I'm not talking about, just some kind of a flowing robe. I mean, they were wearing like slim-lined skirts down to their ankles. Okay, but if President Obama was wearing a skirt to give the State of the Union address, even the liberals, even the conservatives would both be in an uproar. It would be all over the TV. It'd be all over the radio. It'd be on the comedy shows. They'd be making fun of it. They'd be going off on it. And then he goes, that's because everybody in the world knows
that a skirt is women's clothing. But yet today, there are men who put on skirts. It's starting to happen in Tempe. I've seen it at the grocery store. A man, and he was not an African man. He was not Scottish wearing a kilt. And not that I approve of that. It's still a skirt. It's too short anyway. Because the Bible says that you should cover your nakedness, which means to cover your thighs down to the knee. That's what the Bible says. Both male and female. That's found in Exodus 28:42, Isaiah 47:3. You know, I'm not going to preach on that tonight. But hey, it says to cover your nakedness. But wait a minute. I saw a man wearing basically a soccer t-shirt. And he was just like a guy in his 20s, just totally American guy, wearing a soccer t-shirt. He had short hair, thank God. But he was wearing a skirt. And just as natural as rain, he just walks up to the to the checkout. He's wearing a skirt, and I'm just looking at this guy. And it was the one in Tempe, of course, because Tempe is kind of like the Sodom and Gomorrah of Arizona, if you haven't noticed that. But, it was in Tempe. It was the Fry's Food on the corner of Rural and Southern Avenue. And so, this is the day we're living in. But yet today, people will not say that it's wrong for a woman to wear pants. Now think about it. They say it's wrong for a man to wear a skirt. Amen, amen, amen. Please, Pastor Anderson, we beg of you. Don't put on a skirt. But what if my wife wore pants? People would say that's fine. Okay, now stop and think. Now, before you get upset, before you get angry about it, stop and think this through. Don't have a preconceived idea. You say, well, our society accepts women wearing pants, but wait a minute, our society accepts abortion. Yep. Our society accepts homosexuality. Our society accepts a lot of things that are wicked and wrong. And so are you going to let our society determine what you believe, or are you going to let the Bible determine what you believe? We live in a sinful society. The Bible says that we should hold forth the word of life in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Philippians chapter 2. We're living in a crooked and perverse nation. Judah, I need you for illustration, but I think you're needed in the back with the kids more. And so, we're to let the light shine and to be different than the world. And not to just follow the world, to be like the world, to base what we believe on the world. We're to be different. And so we ought to let the Bible guide us. Now, first of all, let me say this. 60 years ago, my friend, 70 years ago, women did not wear pants in America. No woman wore pants in America. Now, my great-grandmother was a wonderful lady. I never got to meet her, but I've heard a lot about her. I've seen a lot of pictures of her. Her name was Rebecca. Rebecca Mooney. And my great-grandmother, Rebecca, one time was over at the house of her mother. And there was a tree in the backyard and had fruit up in the tree. And they wanted to eat the fruit in the tree. And my great-grandmother, Rebecca, and this is back, I would say, probably in the 1940s. So we're talking about 60 years ago. My great-grandmother, Rebecca, marched into the house, and she was trying to be a jokester. She was kidding around, fooling around, and she was going to be funny because they wanted to eat this fruit out of the tree. She marched into the house and went into basically her father's or husband's or whoever it was, drawer, and opened up the drawer, pulled out a pair of pants, put on a pair of pants, tightened the belt, climbed up the tree and got the fruit. And they were shocked. They were scandalized, what are you doing? And she was just doing it to be funny. She was just doing it to kid around. But it was just a shock. And they told that story. Can you believe that she did that? Because back then it was just unknown in America that women would wear pants. Now it started on movies and TV sooner. First on the movies, you'd see a bunch of women wearing pants. And then it trickled down a second. Just like today, if you look at TV today, it's much more wicked than our society actually is. There are far more queers on TV than there are in real life. There's far more adultery on TV because they're trying to get you used to it. They're trying to get you desensitized to it. And that's how it started. It started out with a bunch of women on TV and on the movies, drinking. And if you ever watch old movies from the 40s and 50s, because I used to watch when I was a kid, American movie classics. And it was all the black and white movies from the 30s, from the 40s. And on American movie classics, you notice one thing. They're always drinking. And they're always drinking hard liquor. And they're always smoking. They're always just, they walk in and they'll just be talking. It'll be a nice pretty lady in a long dress and a nice debonair young man with short hair. And he just, oh, would you like a glass of scotch? You know, and they're just pouring it and just drinking. And they're just knocking them back and it doesn't even affect them. Because they're probably not really drinking alcohol on the set. You know, take 25. You know, how many times do we have to keep doing this scene? No, obviously it's a decoy. But then you get to think, oh yeah, you just drink alcohol, it's fine, it's normal, it's cool, Cary Grant's doing it, and you know, whatever the actors back then, I don't know who they were. I don't know the actors of today, let alone of the 40s. I always did bad on that part of Trivial Pursuit, you know, that pink entertainment category. But what I'm trying to say is that, first of all, there was a day in this country when no women were and somebody who said women should wear pants and that it's okay for them would have been thought of as the crazy person or the oddball because it was unknown. Yet today, if a pastor gets up and says, wait a minute now, let's have a difference between the way men and women dress, let's have men in pants and women in skirts, I'm considered crazy. I'm considered a madman. And it's funny, I can just pull out my cell phone right here and I can open it up and I can go to my Gmail account right here. Okay, I pull it up right here. And I'm going to do the search function. Okay? I'm just going to search the word Taliban. Okay? This is the emails that I receive. And it's loading, it's loading, it's loading. And a whole big giant list comes up here of all the people saying, you're the Taliban. You're the Taliban. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Just in September alone, it looks like about, you know, 25 people are, and it's still loading. I mean, it's like, it's breaking my phone that there's so many coming in. So far, it's up to like 40-some messages just in September. It's going to keep going. It just keeps loading. You know, at the end of the service, I'll have a grand total. But the bottom line is, oh, you're the Taliban. You're like a Muslim. You're crazy. No, I'm not crazy. I believe that men and women should dress. Look, you know who's really crazy? The guy who designed that bathroom door. He's a madman, folks. He's nuts. But I'm crazy. You know, now stop and think about this. Wait a minute now. You say, Pastor Anderson, you're wrong. You say, Pastor Anderson, it's okay for women to wear pants because pants can go either way, Pastor Anderson. You're wrong. Okay, let's say you're right for a minute, okay? Let's say that Pastor Anderson is wrong, and let's say that women wearing pants is fine. Okay, come on up here, honey, now that you got that under control. Let's say that it's okay for a woman to wear pants, okay? Well, then here's what we could do. We can get my wife a pair of pants similar to this. Nice neutral color, right? Gray pants. Okay? We can get my wife in these very same pants. Right? And let's say I take off my coat here. And let's say I remove my tie right here. Okay? And let's say I open my shirt up like this right here. And let's say my wife wears the exact same thing. Right? Why not? Because if it's okay for one to wear pants, she can wear a gray pair of slacks. And then basically she can wear a nice button-up shirt like this. And, you know, nothing wrong with a woman wearing a button-up shirt. I don't think anybody would disagree that a button-up shirt is nice on a woman, right? And they sell button-up. We could basically dress identical. And then we could both cut our hair to like 5 inches long. And we could be like a couple of twins up here. Right? Now, is that what God wants? Is that why God wrote that in the Bible? That a man should not put on a woman's garment? That a woman should not put on that which pertains to a man? So that we can dress identical? What about this? What if we both put on blue jeans? Right? I wear blue jeans, she wears blue jeans. I wear a blue t-shirt, she wears a blue t-shirt. I wear a pair of tennis shoes, she wears a pair of tennis shoes. There'd be no difference in our dress. Think about it. Go ahead and sit down. So basically, in order for this verse to even make sense, there must exist some clothing in this world that pertains unto a man. What is it? You say it's not pants. Then what is it then if it's not pants? I mean, if it's not pants, then tell me, what is it that women are not allowed to wear? Because is the Bible prohibiting some clothing on women? There must be some piece of clothing in Deuteronomy 25 that God's saying, don't wear it. What is it? Is it a dress? Is it a skirt? What is it that men can wear that women can't wear? Because basically, if you come from the attitude that says, well, men shouldn't wear dresses because it says right here. And by the way, you say, well, you know, you just got that one verse and it's in the Old Testament. Well, wait a minute. So are you saying it's okay for a man to wear a dress? Is that what you're saying? Do you actually think it's okay for men to wear dresses? Okay, well, if it's not right for men to wear dresses, that means that dresses are the thing that is off limits for a man. What is off limits for women? And the funny thing is, nobody has an answer for it. Because they say, well, I can't say pants, because, you know, of course, you know, women wear pants, you know. We can't say, there's no color. I mean, I've seen women, you know, women wear orange, yellow, red, blue, purple. They all look nice. It can't be blouses, it can't be shirts, it can't be buttons, it can't be... And those aren't even mentioned in the Bible. So what is it that's different between a man and a woman? There's only one option left. Use the process of elimination. And so God wants there to be a difference. That's why the universal symbol for a man and woman, it doesn't make it that hard to figure it out. With that triangle and those two legs. Now, stop and think about this. Are pants mentioned in the Bible? Because if it's going to be something that we believe, it ought to be mentioned in the Bible. Like, the whole reason why I don't think we're talking about colors here is because, number one, women wear all colors, and number two, there's no colors mentioned in the Bible. But hold it now. Are pants mentioned in the Bible? Well, yes, they are, in a multitude of places. Let's look at Exodus 28:42 and as one place where pants are mentioned. Because people have said to me before many times, I had a lady in Mesa tell me pants were not even invented when the Bible was written. Now, hold on a second. Pants weren't invented? How do you not invent pants? I mean, good night. Like, hey, I've got this idea. You're not going to believe this. Instead of just one piece of cloth surrounding my whole body, what if you have one separate piece of cloth for each leg? Now, look, pants were never invented. Okay, they've always been around. All right? That's just going to shock you. But she said, pants weren't even invented back then. Who invented? I know, you know, Al Gore invented pants or whatever. Al Gore invented the internet. You know? No, pants have been around for a really long time. Because any fool can know. I mean, they invented shirts, right? They got the two armholes. But they just somehow... Here's what happened. I know what happened. One time this guy picked up his shirt. Okay? This is how pants were invented. A guy picked up his shirt, and he didn't know it was his shirt. He thought it was his skirt. So he picked it up, and he put his leg through the armhole of his shirt. And he said, you know, this doesn't fit, but what if? We made the sleeves a little bit longer. And you could put a button in the front. Now, I don't know if they had zippers. Might have been more like a Levi's 501 button fly. Okay. But I'm going to tell you something. They had pants. Here's pants in the Bible. Now, the word pants is not used in the Bible simply because in 1611, when the King James Bible was translated and published, the word pants was not used. They used different words for pants. But it's a word that we still use today. Look at Exodus. I'm not even turning there myself in all my... I was telling that really important story. But Exodus 28:42. The Bible reads, "And thou shalt put them upon," "and that thou shalt make for them linen breeches to cover their nakedness. From the loins, even unto the thighs, they shall reach." Now, who's ever heard this expression? He's a little bit too big for his breeches. Put up your hand if you've heard that expression. Being a little bit too big for your breeches? Because everybody knows that breeches are pants. Breeches is a word. It's used 5 times in the Bible, the word breeches. And it means pants. And all 5 times it's mentioned, men are wearing those pants. All 5 times. It's a man wearing breeches. Okay, you'll never find a woman in the Bible wearing breeches. Here's another word in the Bible that's used for pants. Look at Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter number 3, because the Bible uses another word for pants besides breeches. Daniel chapter number 3, and this is the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they refuse to bow down to the golden image and they're thrown into the fiery furnace.
The Bible says in verse 20 of Daniel 3, and he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats. Now, you say, hosen? What are their hosen? Well, the word, German, I speak German. Does anybody else know German? My wife knows German. The German word for pants is hosen. H-O-S-E-N. It's that exact word. And because English is a Germanic language and English came from German, in English, people used to use the same word for pants. They called pants hosen. And that's why if you open up a dictionary today in 2009, Webster's College Dictionary, and look up the word hosen, it'll say pants. Look up the word breeches, it'll say pants. These are just older words. Just like the Bible uses thee and thou. We don't use thee and thou today. It uses the word breeches. It used the word hosen. You know, and we're not talking about pantyhose. We're talking about hosen. Pantyhose were not invented until some weirdo in France came up with those. But anyway, that's another story. But anyway, it was. They were invented in France. But hosen, breeches, that's what the Bible is using to refer to pants. And so Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what did they wear? Pants. What did every single Levitical priest, which was like a huge group of thousands and thousands of men in Israel, they wore pants. Now, the pants that the priests wore, they went from their loins to the thigh. So they basically were like a pair of shorts that went to the knee. It's basically what those pants were. So, you know, that's what they wore. But it's still pants. You know, pants that go to your knee, pants that go to your ankles, pants. They lived in a warmer climate. They wore pants that went to their knee. Sometimes I've been known to wear pants that go to my knee. You know, I put on a pair of shorts. I don't put on the shorts like in the 1970s with the three stripes on the side. I wear pants that cover my nakedness all the way down to my knees. Right? And that's what the Bible says. And so we definitely see pants in the Bible. Now look, if you would, at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So don't just walk away and say, oh, that preacher's crazy. He's a fanatic. He's a madman. He's the Taliban. Let's see how that download's doing. Let's see what we're up to. How many thousands? It's like an error occurred. Data overload. You know, but it just goes on and on and on. It's still loading. Anyway, the bottom line is, you can sit there and call me names all you want, but Deuteronomy 22:5 is in the Bible, and it must mean something. I don't think God's just putting nonsense in the Bible. There must be clothing that pertains to a man. And that women should not wear. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. And I got to hurry because I'm running out of time in my sermon here, so I might have to skip some stuff. We'll talk about it another time. But, you know, just to finish this up, we talked about gender identity. We talked about the length of your hair. And we also talked about your clothing, that your clothing should be different. And by the way, I'm not going to wear pants or shirts or anything that looks girly either, by the way. Because I'm not trying to be right there on the line. I want to be as masculine as possible. And I think that girls should try to be as feminine as possible. I think girls should be very feminine, men should be very masculine. You say, well, pants go either way. Wait a minute. We're not trying to have a unisex where we dress the same, my wife and I. No. I want to wear something different from my wife. I want to look like a man, distinctly. Is there any doubt about the fact whether I'm a man or a woman when you walked into this church? And you see me wearing a suit with short hair, with pants? Pretty clear, huh? And yet today, how many times have you sat and stared in the airport? Sat and stared at the grocery store. Is that a man or a woman? Because all the lines have been blurred. You say, well, it has short hair. But that doesn't mean anything because there are a lot of women that have short hair. You say, hey, it's wearing a pair of pants. You say, well, you know what? Men and women both wear pants. So you're sitting there scratching your head. You're saying, is it a man? You know, you look at the name tag and it's, you know, Chris. You're like, ah, oh, you know, it could be Christine, it could be Christopher. You know, you don't know. And it's like, you're just, what is it? You know, whereas in God's world, you'd know. You'd see long hair, you'd say, that's a woman. You'd see short hair, you'd say, that's a man. You see somebody wearing a pants, you say, it's a man. You know, you say, a skirt, it's a woman. That's what God wanted. That's what God intended. And today, we all wear pants, we all have short hair, and the queers are out of the closet. Do you like the world you live in? Do you like America? Okay, look at 1 Corinthians 6, 9. We're going to see one last point tonight. I only have time for one more point. He says in verse number 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators. Is it right to commit fornication? No. Nor idolaters. Is it right to make a graven image or a molten image? No. He says, nor adulterers. Is it right to commit adultery and to break your marriage vow by being with someone other than your wife? No. Or your husband? No. Nor effeminate. Now, what does the word effeminate mean? The word effeminate means feminine, but it can only be used about a man because it's a derogatory word. It's a negative word. The word feminine is a good word. If a woman is feminine, that would be a compliment. If I said, boy, you're very, you know, to a woman, I said, you're very feminine. That's a very good compliment. But see, a man being feminine, that's called effeminate. And it's a negative word. It's a derogatory word. God says that being effeminate is a sin. So what if you have a man that dresses like a man, has short hair like a man, and he is a straight man. In fact, he's even a born-again Christian. He's saved. But he acts feminine and girly. Is that a sin according to the Bible? Yes, it is. It's effeminacy. You know, you have these guys, and they act so gay, and they got the little limp wrist going, and they're girly, and they're real sensitive, and they're a wimp, and a pansy. Oh, he's just kind of a little bit, you know, girly, but that's okay. And this is what they call it today. I just learned this word a couple months ago. Metro. I just learned this word a couple months ago. I didn't even know the word. They say, I'm a metrosexual. And you know what that means? That means that I act like a fag, but I'm not a fag. That's basically what it means. Like, I'm totally straight, I just act like I'm gay. That's what metrosexual means. Look, it's an abomination, my friend. God said if you wear a woman's clothes, you're an abomination. God says if a woman wears a man's clothes, it's an abomination. God says here, effeminacy is wrong. It's an abomination. Do not act like a woman. Act like a man. You say, oh man, I can't take this hard preaching, Pastor Anderson. That's because you're being preached to by a man. And many churches you go to, the guy behind the pulpit's effeminate. And he stands up there, and he's girly, and he's sensitive. I remember one time I walked into church. And it was the first time in my life I'd ever seen this. I walked into church as a 9-year-old boy. And I walked into church, and the song leader, everybody was sitting, all these men are sitting on the platform, like, yeah, you know, sitting like this, you know, up on the platform. And the song leader was sitting there like this. Okay, the song leader was sitting up there like that. And that was the first time in my life, at age 9, that I'd ever seen a man sit like that. And I looked at that guy, and I was like, why is he sitting like that? And he's up there, like, you know, and look, he was a little bit girly, okay? Now look, this guy was straight. He was totally straight. He was a Christian man. He was born again. He was saved. He was a very nice guy. But let's face it, he was a little bit girly. As evidenced by the way he was sitting. Okay? That's not the way a man sits, by the way. Amen. Thank you for that single solitary amen. Now let me tell you the truth about that guy. As sure as I'm standing here, and everybody who went to church with me back then, it was a big church. A lot of people could tell that what I'm telling is true right now. The God honest truth is that man's son today is a bouncer at a gay bar in Sacramento. And is a full-blown sodomite. He's a bouncer at a gay bar, and he is a fag himself. That man's son. Okay, so effeminacy is a sin, right? Because he didn't raise his boys to be men. And they grew up, and they became sodomites. Isn't that terrible? Now here's the thing. The King James Version's clear here. Effeminate. Now here's the modern Bible versions that twist and change what the Bible says. I got here the New King James. And I've got here the New International Version. Newer, better. A dollar more. Let me open these up. Let's start with the New King James. And let's see what it says here. You look down at your King James Bible in 1 Corinthians 6:9. I'm going to read for you what the New King James so-called. And how do you have a New King James? Did they dig up King James's corpse and have him sign it with his dead hand? King James has been dead for several hundred years. So how can you have a New King James Version? He doesn't want his name on this new version. He's dead. And he's in heaven, you know, upset or whatever, if he was saved. I believe he was saved. But in 1 Corinthians 6:9 it says, Do you not know? You're looking at the real Bible. I'm reading to you from the New King James. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators. Is that the same? Is that the same? Nor idolaters. Is that the same? Nor adulterers. Is that the same? Now listen to this. Nor homosexuals. Is that the same? No. Nor sodomites. Now here's the problem with this. Homosexuals are sodomites. A sodomite is a homosexual. This one says, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites. Wait a minute now. This is trying to say that it's two different things. This is trying to say that a homosexual is not a sodomite. And this is what the gays of today want you to believe. They want you to believe that, well, sodomites are just those who would force others like they did in Sodom. No, my friend. The Bible refers to men with men as sodomites. The dictionary will tell you that's what it means. This is trying to change that definition by saying nor homosexuals nor sodomites. Like it's two different things. So this is garbage. Because it's changing the Bible and it's even spouting nonsense that there's a difference between a sodomite and a homosexual when the two are one and the same. But let's go to the NIV, the most popular version in America. Right? The New International Version. I'm going to look this up in 1 Corinthians 6:9. And it says in the non-inspired version, the NIV, in the No Inspired Verses version, it says in 1 Corinthians 6:9, do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither the sexually immoral. That's not the same as fornicator, by the way. Nor idolaters. Now watch this. Your Bible says effeminate. God's Word says effeminate. This one says, nor male prostitutes. Now wait a minute. Male prostitutes? When the Bible says effeminate. Look, he's just a little girly, okay? He's not a male prostitute. But look at this. Listen. Nor male prostitutes. I lost my place. Nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders. So wait a minute. According to the NIV, homosexuality is not wrong. It's just if you're selling it, it's wrong, or if you're a homosexual offender. How can you be a homosexual and not be an offender? You see what I mean? They're trying to twist it and make it okay. The Bible verse here doesn't even mention homosexuality at all. Look at your Bible. It says, effeminate or abusers of themselves of mankind. Neither one of those is referring to a homosexual. Okay, and yet they just change it to male prostitute, homosexual, sodomite. They just make stuff up. And so only in the King James Bible will you find that it's a sin to be effeminate. So basically, if you're one of these NIV users, being effeminate is fine. Get in touch with your feminine side, Pastor NIV Church. And that's why these pastors are so girly. That's why these pastors are so queer looking. Why don't we just, you know, Metro Baptist Church. That's what they ought to be called. Pastor Metro. Preaching from the New King James. Preaching from the NIV. Metro Lutheran Church. Metro Presbyterian Church. Metro Methodist. Where do you go to church? I go to Metro Baptist. You know, pastor, he's not, don't worry. He's against sodomy. But he does, you know, wear a pink shirt. He is very sensitive. He's very in touch with his feminine side. He crosses his legs like this when he sits up on the platform. And he never yells. He never gets up and screams and stomps and kicks the pulpit and does. You know, he's very, very, you know, Metro. And he's always, and hey, he's always wearing the name brand Abercrombie and Fitch. Hollister, you know, whatever, you know, he's always just right there with the brand. What brand is it? You think I care what brand I'm wearing? You know what my favorite brand is? Dickies. You know what my favorite brand is? Carhartts. That's some men's clothing right there. Right? Some of you guys, if you say, man, I want to dress manly. Here, just get like one of these uniform catalogs from like Carhartts or Dickies. Like, just go to the section of the, and if you're ordering from JCPenney, just go to the section under work clothes. That's where you ought to be shopping. Not Abercrombie and Fitch,
not Urban Outfitter, not Casual Male. Okay, these are not the stores that you should be going to. Go to, and again, this is not Bible preaching. I'm putting away the Bible right now, okay? But I'm talking about being effeminate, and the Bible doesn't talk about being effeminate. So I'm trying to help you. Just get under the section that says work clothes. Just get the Dickies, the Carhartts, get some manly clothes. And when you wake up in the morning, just be dressed. And that should be good enough. It shouldn't matter like, oh man, you know, I got to have just the perfect thing. And you know, I got to have my shirt tailored to show every curve of my stomach and my chest. No. Dress like a man. Get your tight-fitting pants off, guys. These tight jeans, these low-rider jeans, this sagging your pants. Hey, pull up your pants, put on a belt. Okay, here's some Bible preaching for you. Have your loins girt about with truth. Right? Put on the whole armor of God, guys. It's called a belt. Have your loins girt about with truth. And don't sag your pants and look like a girl with these tight-fitting, sagging pants. Don't be effeminate. I thank God that we have a King James Bible, not these watered-down versions that... And by the way, you say, well, I think the NIV is fine. The NIV says that Joseph is Jesus' father in Luke 2:33. You think that's fine? The New King James Version says in 1 Corinthians 1:18 that we're in the process of being saved. When the King James says that we're already saved. So there's a difference, folks. I got to close on this. Dress like a man. Cut your hair like a man. Talk like a man. Be a man. If you're a man. Ladies. Ladies. Dress like a lady. Talk like a lady. Act like a lady. Grow your hair long like a lady. And be feminine. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, please help no one to be offended by the sermon tonight. My goal is never to offend. I'm speaking the truth in love, dear God. I pray that every single person that is here would learn something and get in the Word of God and study the Bible and see the truth of what I'm preaching to God. And Father, I just pray that everyone would study to show themselves approved. And God, I thank you for Faith Forward Baptist Church, a church where there's liberty, where we never tell anybody how to dress. We don't have rules. And God, we will never have rules. But Father, please help us to just on our own accord, as individuals, make our own decision to dress the way that you've told us to dress, to cut our hair the way. And Father, if women come in here with short hair, they're welcome here. And if men come with long hair, they're welcome, dear God. But Father, thank you that we can preach your word and believe it and do it of our own volition. And we love you, and in Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, let's go ahead and have a...